As we do in most of our sermons, our Bible studies, our worship hour, our days here as we attend, we always go to our God in prayer. And I think sometimes we can get into a routine where we know we do it, so we do it. And I think it's nice to go back and refresh on some things. So today, I want to just concentrate on the practice of prayer, getting a closer walk with God, but focusing on the practice of actual prayer. So we're going to look at the aspects of that throughout the scriptures and see what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it, how often, for who, all these good things. So I hope you'll follow along. There's a Bible, should be one there in front of you if you don't have one with you. But I want to try to encourage us to understand and more diligently dissect this practice of prayer to get us closer to God. So when should we pray? Looking there in Psalms 55, if you'll turn with me there, Psalms 55, we have examples here. So when should we pray? Maybe at set times. We could pray to create a habit. Not that this is required. It's just good examples for us to maybe start to create a habit of praying often. So if we have set times, if we look at Psalm 55 here, David, who we all know and from my sermon last week was described as a man after God's own heart. David here in Psalm 55 and in verse 17 says, "Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." So here we see David praying morning, noon, and evening. That was three times a day. Doesn't have the time length, but it appears three set times that David went to God in prayer. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel here, before he is... Well, they just signed a decree that no one can petition anyone but the king for 30 days. And Daniel's now going to go back to his room and basically disregard that decree and have his own prayer. Daniel chapter 6, and there in verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." Daniel wasn't hiding anything. Daniel went to his room and he opened the window, which everyone could see him if they would walk by. He knelt down and he prayed. He prayed three times that was his custom. So there were set times for some of these examples. And again, this isn't saying that you have to do that. This is just giving you an idea of how can you get into a better routine of praying? Set some times that you want to do it regularly. They made this their habit, and these are good examples for us to follow. At the very least, it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be these set times, but at the very least, set some time aside, whether it's a certain hour of the day that you know you have free, if it's 2 hours of the day that you have free, they're just separated. Set some time aside that you can go to God in prayer and not be distracted. Maybe that's early morning. Maybe that's better for you because of your schedule. Maybe that's at midnight when you get off work at 11 o'clock and you finally get home. It doesn't, like I said, it's not a certain time, but set some time aside, whatever works best for your schedule, some special time that you can draw near to God. Okay, so if we do set times, that's fine, but it doesn't have to be. Special needs call for special prayers. We see that just this last week. We had a service here to remember Brother Ken. And so when it comes to something like that, that could be a special time. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 6, we're going to see here that Jesus prayed during a special occasion. Luke chapter 6, Jesus is about to pick his 12. Luke 6, verses 12 and 13. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray. Now this is Jesus. He went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Jesus went up into the mountains and prayed all day at this special occasion. He was about to pick his 12 apostles, and he went to his Heavenly Father in prayer, a special occasion. Paul, in Acts 16, when he was in prison, he prayed. And what happened? Philippian jailer was saved. He overheard him. That was a special occasion. Paul was in prison. He felt he needed to pray, and he did. This was a trying circumstance for him. We can also use that as an example, that in our trying times, that's when we need to go. Part of my sermon last week was that. Trying times, we need to draw near to God, not away. We don't need to try to fix it ourselves. So that, it's such an important aspect of it. Also, spur of the moment. Nothing says that it has to be a special occasion. Nothing says it has to be set times. But even spur of the moment instances, we can have something come upon us, and maybe we don't have an answer, or maybe we're just nervous. That's the time to go to God in prayer. It can be last minute, and it doesn't have to be long. I say one right before I step up here. It's not very long, but I do. I need that. It releases some stress, eases me a little bit, but I do. It's right before I step up here, I want to make sure that I've had a conversation with God. And so there may be those times for you that arise that call for a spontaneous prayer session amongst yourselves. And that is perfectly fine. What is the goal here? Pray without ceasing. We see that in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 or 16 and 17, right? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Now, we've talked about that in the past. That doesn't mean it's continuous non-prayer. We can't talk to anybody because we're praying, you know, forever and all day, every day. But if we are using these practices, then we will be essentially praying without ceasing. Any opportunity that comes up, we will be doing that. Having these set times are good. Having spontaneous prayers are all good. And that will allow us to not lose connection with our Heavenly Father. So with whom should we pray? Now that we've talked about when, with whom? Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, there in verses 5 and 6, tells us in secret. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Pray privately. This should occupy most of our time. We should be constantly going to God in prayer. Consider the values of this. Why is going to God privately so valuable? Well, it forms a close union between us and our Heavenly Father. It is just the two of us. It's just you and Him. One-on-one. Speaking. Have you thought of that? I know we pray, you know, we probably all pray quite a bit. But when you're praying to God, do you realize you're just one-on-one, sitting right next to each other, talking to God? It's amazing. It's a true test of our sincerity, our devotion to Him. We're definitely not doing it to please men. They can't see us, right? Not unless we go out and announce it. We go out and say, hey, guess what? I prayed for 5 hours last night. I was in my closet, so it was all good, but I still prayed for 5 hours last night. That's not what it's about, right? It's just you and God, not doing it to please men. You definitely can't be trying to hide something from God. How hard would it be to tell God that you're doing something when you're really not, when he's sitting right beside you? So you're not doing anything falsely. You're one-on-one truth between you and your Heavenly Father. It's so important to understand that this brings you closer to God. And what's going to happen if we do this? What did verse 6 tell us there in Matthew 6? Our Father will reward us openly, right? We'll get our reward. We don't have to announce it. We don't have to get credit from mankind. We'll get our reward. So private prayer should be our priority. First and foremost, that should be our priority. And if we're doing that, it'll carry over to these other aspects. Jesus also spoke of praying with two or three, not just privately, but two or three. Matthew chapter 18, flip over a couple of chapters there. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. There, verse 19, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So it's talking about a reconciled sinner where two and three are gathered together. If they offer up something through Christ, it will be answered. So we are encouraged to pray in groups, not just by ourselves. We see this, the early Christians did this quite often. In times of trouble, even in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, they were threatened not to speak of Jesus, and they prayed. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Turn with me there, and we'll see that they went to God in prayer. Acts chapter 4, there in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. They raised their voice to God. They went to God in prayer. In times of trouble, just as we should. We've made this comment. We find ourselves in trouble. The first place we need to go is to God, not to our own thoughts. There in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, the church prays for Peter. He's in prison, and the church prays for Peter. We as a congregation pray for several things. And we see scripture here where the church here did the same thing. What about in times of departure? We offer a prayer when we have a gospel meeting and we know the preacher is about to leave, going to be traveling home, or we're traveling home at the end of our service. We offer that as part of our prayer, as times of departure, right? Acts chapter 20, Paul is going to continue on with his missionary journey, and he's about to leave, going to head for Jerusalem. And he asked for the prayers. Acts chapter 20 and verse 36. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Paul prayed just as they were getting ready to leave. Bid us safe journeys. I may have my verse wrong there. 21 verse 5. Yeah, 21. Acts 21 verse 5. When he had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way. And they all accompanied us with wives and children until we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship and they returned home. So right before they left, they had a word of prayer. Safe journey, Godspeed. They prayed for Paul as he was going to continue his trip. These are all good times where groups can pray together. This fellowship, when God's people pray together, makes us stronger. It does. It brings us together. So this too should be done as often as possible. Now let's take a moment to look at how we should pray. In Luke chapter 11, we see here where Jesus actually gives us an example, a guide to go by. This is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. We're all familiar with it. Luke chapter 11 and verses 1 through 4. So this example we have that Jesus gave us, it says here, starting there in verse 2, so he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So let's look at these four verses. Let's carefully examine these. To whom should we pray? Well, what does it say there in the first part of verse 2? Our Father in heaven. That's who we're praying to. Our Father who is in heaven. And then that next line, hallowed be your name. We're praising God. We're praying to our Heavenly Father, praising God. Hallowed be your name. Made holy, consecrated. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, when we pray to God, we need to understand that He knows what we want. He knows what we need. But we need to understand that it always comes with the asterisk, His will be done. God's will be done. It may not be, our prayer may not be answered in the way that we want it to be, but if we accept God as our leader, as in charge, Jesus as our Savior, we'll accept whatever answer we get. Okay, so your will be done. What else do we do in this part of this prayer? Well, there's supplication. Asking for things humbly. He knows what we need, but we're still to go to Him in prayer. So, for God's purpose, this kingdom come, our physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. We are to pray for our physical needs. He's going to provide for us, but we are to pray for these also. What about our spiritual needs? What's verse 4 say? And forgive us our sins. We are to pray for our spiritual needs. What about the needs of others? As we continue in verse 4, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Well, we need to pray for the spiritual needs of others, right? We forgive them, but is it because they've sinned against us? We need to pray for them. They need our prayers. And our safety. Deliver us from the evil one. Who's the evil one? The guy down the street? Maybe. But this is the devil, right? We need to stray from him. We need to pray that God will protect us. And then what does John 14:6 say about at the end of our prayer? Or how does our prayer get to God? We can't get to the Father except by way of the Son. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it's always through Christ. He is our intermediate. He delivers this message. And It's in Christ's name that we are able to pray and to go through him to God and to speak one-on-one with God. Matthew chapter 6 also shows us the simplicity of what prayer should be at times. Not just wordy. Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. We don't have to continue to repeat ourselves just to make it a long prayer. We can say what's on our mind, make our points, and be done. Prayer doesn't have to be long. It can be longer. Effective prayer is what it comes down to. But it can be, for the most part, simple. So it shouldn't scare us to do it. So something to help us remember how to pray and the content. So everybody uses acronyms. Everybody uses things to help them remember. It's a trick in school. A lot of times, certain professions use a lot of acronyms. So let's use the acronym of ACTS, A-C-T-S. Well, we have a book of Acts, and praying is an act. So let's use that. So let's take the A. What's that going to remind us of if we think of the word ACTS when it comes to prayer? Is the adoration or deep respect and worship for God. Okay? Praise God in your prayers. A is for adoration, praising God in your prayers. Spending this time in sincere praise. God's greatness, it'll help us get the proper insight in our prayers. The C can stand for confession. Acknowledging our sins before God. Sometimes it's hard to do. It can be difficult at times. But when we understand how sin breaks our relationship and our fellowship between us and God, it would be a natural desire to try to remedy that as soon as possible. When we find ourselves in some type of sin, that should be a spontaneous prayer. That should cause us to reflect on what we've done or said and cause us to fix it as soon as possible through confession and prayer. And the great thing about that is, as a Christian, we can be cleansed. As blood of Jesus, as we confess our sins, we can be cleansed. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to be willing to confess them, which if we're willing to confess it, that means we recognize it and we won't repeat it. We can turn from it. If we don't recognize it, that's where we need our brother or sister to point it out. So we have A and we have C. Now we're on to T. Well, Thanksgiving. I've talked about that recently. Thanksgiving, an important part of our prayer, even those in which we are making requests, asking for something, we should always be thanking God for what he has given us. Always thanking God for what he has given us. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Through thanksgiving. So what are the benefits of this? What are the benefits of giving thanks? We acknowledge God's existence. We say, hey, you're here. Thank you for giving this to us. Right? Thank you for providing for my daily needs. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring for me. We acknowledge that he exists, that he has the ability to do things for us, so we thank him for them. Reminds us of his goodness. Helps us shift the focus from what we don't have to what we do have. Kind of gets off of the wants list and gets to the thanks for providing for me list. Sometimes I think we get kind of narrow-minded and I want this, I want that, I need this, and that's what we pray for. But, so sometimes we need to take a step back and pause and be thankful for what we have. And that's what, as long as we are giving thanks to God, that will steer us away from the give me, give me, give me, and onto the thanks for giving me aspect. So what are some things we can be thankful for? When we pray to God, what can we tell him that we're thankful for? Well, we're all here. We may not be all of perfect health, but we're all healthy enough to be here, so we can thank him for our health. Maybe we do have perfect health, and that would be such a wonderful thing. There's so many people that do suffer with bad health and, you know, infirmities of old age, and the body does start to give out. So, you know, we should be thankful for our health. We should be thankful for family and friends. They're our life support, good times and bad. We can be thankful for them. What about God's guidance? What about answers to previous prayers? Have you had a prayer that you got an answer to that was wonderful? Did you thank God for that? Did you pray for something and it actually happened the way it worked out for you? Maybe not exactly what you prayed for, but it worked out for you. Did you follow it up with a thank you prayer for answering your prayers? And something to think about. What about things we're not able to see? You know, we are human beings, and I think a lot of times we are driven by visual. We want to see production. We want to see outcomes. What about the things we can't see? What about our adoption as God's children? Can't really see that right now. Physically see it. It's a feeling. It's an understanding. That's something to be thankful for. You know, we talked about in the sea for confession. What about we're thankful for the forgiveness of our sins, that ability to go to him in prayer and allow us to right our life with him? What about the hope of eternal life? Just the opportunity to be able to live in heaven with him someday. Are we thankful for that? Should that be something we pray for? What about his constant presence? Do you ever worry that God will leave you? Do you thank him for never leaving your side? Thank him for always being there? We should be. We have every reason to be thankful. I can't think of one where we shouldn't be. Every reason to be thankful. So we have A, C, T. We have adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. The last one to finish up Acts there, the S for supplication. Yeah, we can make requests of God. Philippians 4:6 tells us that verse, you know, up in thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. We can ask for things. We are to go to our Father and make supplications. If we include the adoration, the confession, the thanksgiving, this last one, the supplication, prevents the prayer from being just simply a spiritual shopping list and kind of makes it real for us, I think. It allows us to be ourselves and say, you know, thank you for everything you do for me. And if it be your will, I pray that this happens, or I can see this happen, or I can get this job, or you can pray for those things. And as long as we're willing to accept whatever answer he gives, we will have finished off, hopefully, a well-thought-out prayer that he accepts. So if you can add those four aspects to your prayer, praise God, confess your sins, thanksgivings, give thanks for what he's given you, and your supplications, I think that's a pretty good recipe there. There's one more thing that we should be praying for. So we broaden our request, our physical needs, yes. We broaden our request to include others. We should be praying for others. When we do this, we really enter a different realm of prayer. It's intercession. Intercession. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and there in verse 1. It says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we are to pray for others. But what does that entail? Why is it important to pray for others? Well, we see examples of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:25 basically said that, you know, has the brethren pray for us. Very simple. 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, brethren, pray for us. Paul was asking his Thessalonian Christians to pray for them. Needed prayers of them. By praying for others, we as Christians demonstrate certain things. The need for God's help. We know we need God's help, but we also demonstrate it by praying for others. We demonstrate the belief that God is going to answer us. He will hear our prayers and he will answer us. And we also demonstrate the trust in others to do right. If we ask someone to pray for us, we trust that they're going to do it in a proper way, in a way that's acceptable, and they will do it. So the need for God's help, we know we need God's help. There are times in our lives that we long for this kind of help. We've talked about that. The greatest source of help is God. Nothing above him. Nothing above him. Jesus taught this on the Sermon on the Mount. It's a wonderful blessing that we have that we can go to God, and we just need to understand that's the greatest source we have. Paul understood it throughout all his life, that he needed God's help. God meets our needs through providence. In his way, he meets our needs. And when we go to God and pray for others, we demonstrate that we need his help. We believe he's going to answer. If we don't have the faith that God's going to answer us, why are we praying? It's fruitless. Why are we even attempting it if we don't believe that we can have a good outcome? We have this belief or we wouldn't be doing it. And when we pray for others, we always need to make sure that we're doing it appropriately, the right source, to the right authority, the right reasons, all these good things. And then trusting that others will do right. When they ask us to pray for them, they trust that we're going to do right, that we're going to do it. But if we pray for someone and they're not willing to accept the help, we can't do anything about that, right? We can pray for someone to become a Christian, but if they're not willing to do this, our prayer is not going to do any good if the person's not willing to accept the prayer on their behalf, if they're not willing to follow through. But that doesn't mean we still shouldn't pray for them. When we offer a prayer for other people, we demonstrate that we are living right, that we have the ability to take this prayer to God and he will hear it. We're not in sin. We're not separated from God. Our prayer will be accepted. First Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, and there in verse 12. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God's going to hear our prayers. He hears the prayers of the righteous. In And so when people call on us to pray for them, they bring something to us that they want our prayers. We need to pray for them. We need to ensure that we are following through with what they've asked. There's power in prayer. We all know that. We may actually be able to say that we've seen it before. But there is power in prayer. But if we don't pray for someone, well, then there's not been a prayer offered for them. We have to make sure we're praying for people when they ask us to. So now, for what should we pray? We talked about some of these already, but we need to pray for ourselves, our physical daily needs. We discussed that. Just a brief overview here. We pray for family. The family being spouse, children, parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, church family, each member. The community, our communities need our prayers. The places we live, the places we visit, they need our prayers. For peace to prevail. Some of the larger cities we see, you know, the news is all bad because that's what it tends to be, what people want to read about. And if that's what the whole, you know, community is like, they need our prayers. Right? Church, for love, for unity to prevail, for spiritual growth, for each member. We can pray for them. For the gospel to have free course. We mention these a lot in our prayers, that we are, you know, we're thankful for being free from persecution and being able to actually come in here and worship God. Pray for our nation, the leaders of our nation, that they too will be God-fearing men and women, and they too would pass laws that are according to God's will. Non-believers, their salvation. There's so much things, so many things we can pray for. The sick. We have a list on our bulletin of all those who are sick or are injured in one way or another, and they need our prayers. We can pray for them. Spiritual strength. A lot of times, I think you guys can understand this, we get sick or we get hurt or old age catches up with us, that can beat on us mentally as much as it can physically. And for spiritual strength and peace of mind is such a wonderful aspect that if we lose it, it can hurt us more than our physical ailments. So we can pray for that. The poor and oppressed, you know, homeless, fatherless, you know, unborn children, they all need our prayers. Do you remember the last person you drove by at an intersection that held up a sign, you know, need food or, you know, have nothing, whatever? I'm not asking you to say what you did, if you gave or not, or if you just kept driving, but what I do want to point out is after you pass this person up, no matter what you did you offer up a prayer for them? Something to think about. You can help them in that way if you can't help them financially or with some food. We can help them by praying for them. Everyone needs our prayers in one way or another. I heard someone say once before, and I'm not going to say who, but they said they didn't know what to pray for. They didn't really have anything that they need to pray for. And I don't know that any of us can say that. There's always something to pray for. And even if it's just saying thanks, there's always something to pray for. So think about a strategy here. What can we do as a strategy? And I'm not saying you have to do this. I'm just trying to help you out here. Maybe pick Monday is the day I pray for family. Tuesday is the day I pray for community. Wednesday is the day I pray for church. And set something up like that that will help you and remind you to always go to these areas and to remember them. It would be hard for me, and I'll speak on behalf of myself, it would be hard for me to remember everything that I would want to pray for. Even putting this together, trying to figure out how I could get all that into one and do it every single day, I think it would be hard for me to remember. But nothing says we have to do it all at once. But if we set up a schedule, it'll help us not to forget, right? So keep a list. Keep a journal, whatever we can do. When it comes to praying for the community, maybe it's something you read in the newspaper or you see on the news, something bad that's happened. That may call for a spontaneous prayer on behalf of whatever that is, you know, a war in some other country, peace for them, anything like that. I think sometimes we get stuck in our own schedule of, what applies to me, this is what I'm going to worry about, and we don't open up to the world around us. So, my final thought, what's the most important thing after out of all of this that we should get? Pray. Just pray. Don't forget to pray. Right? Do so always. Do so in everything. Do so earnestly, vigilant, without ceasing. Always remember to pray. I hope this has encouraged us to be more diligent in utilizing. This is such a wonderful, wonderful privilege we have. And I've made this comment before, but it's such a wonderful blessing to have the avenue of prayer that we can go to God. And I just don't want it to become mundane. It's what we do because we do it. We should always remember praying to God is special. And I'm thankful that we have it. I thank you for your great attention. This wasn't a sermon for necessarily to teach the lost. It wasn't that type. But that is our goal here. That is our goal here. If you're here today and you are feeling that you need to answer the invitation that we're about to offer, if you're not a child of God, He wants you to be. He really does. If you need to obey in primary obedience through baptism, we can help you. If you want our prayers, obviously we're willing to help you. If you are a Christian and you're here and you have fallen away and you need the prayers of the congregation, now's the time. Don't leave here not on the right side of God. Please. Open your songbooks. If there's any way we can help, come up, have a seat on the front pew while together we stand and while we sing.